saving money on your next painting project. Now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Ready?
This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
We are here. The World Cup is upon us, my friends.
Jesus.
I can't believe this. It in some ways feels like it got here so quickly. In other ways, it feels like it's been an eternity.
Yeah.
Because this is a thing that should have been happening in the summer, but obviously because it's in Qatar and it's too hot to play in the summer, they had to move it to fall, screwed up every single league on the planet's season. Champions League's a mess. Everything's a mess. Manchester United is in ruins right now simply because of one player. Never mind. That's a whole other podcast. We'll do that some other time.
We'll do that after the World Cup.
Right. There you go.
And by then, maybe that player won't
maybe
even
player
be on the
won't
team.
Even be there. I don't. We may not. Maybe yeah. We'll talk about that player on this show. I'm sure we will. But this is our World Cup 2022 preview. So you may have already seen, we have done a U.S. men's national team preview. Mm-hmm. That is available for you. If you want something just about the U.S. national team, we have got that available. You can go check it out. Same place you found this podcast. We also have a little bit more in-depth breakdowns of each group if you want to go listen just to a breakdown of that. So this podcast, what we're going to do is kind of break down the entirety of the World Cup, some of the things that are going on with the World Cup as we get into it, and then the teams involved and who we think is going to come out, and give you our predictions for who's going to win the whole damn thing. So,
and I'm sure they're going to be 1,000% correct.
Thousand. Well, you know what? One of us, and I would say on average, we're each about 50% right, since I was 0% right last time and you were 100% right. One of us predicted the whole thing last year, or last 4 years ago. You predicted the final and you predicted the winner. So good for you, Beam.
I'm terrified of my predictions now.
You should be.
It's the Beamer jinx.
You should be.
Exactly what's going to happen.
So let's go through a little quick primer on the World Cup, the drama involved with the World Cup, a little bit off the field, and then we'll tell you how this is all going to work. Joe, first of all, the big giant elephant in the room. Yes, the World Cup is in Qatar. There has been a lot of stuff said in the news about Qatar and their
building
reception
up their
to
stadiums.
Yes,
and
I mean
reception to other people's cultures and
when
all
I
different
right
kinds.
When I say there's controversy, you could easily say which one are you referring to? So yes, there are lots of controversies about Qatar. I know your feelings, my feelings on that are pretty similar. That Qatar does not deserve this World Cup. Sepp Blatter of all people, the guy who ran FIFA at the time and took all the dirty money to get this cup in Qatar, he has said now it was a mistake and shouldn't have happened, which that's great after you cash those checks and then have to go to jail for it. And
by the way,
else.
I started watching the Netflix documentary about FIFA and how grimy that the organization has become, and it was about as dirty as you think.
Right.
It's about as bad and dirty as you think it would be, literally cash exchanging hands and votes for presidency and literally in votes for World Cup. I mean, that's all fact.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that. Grease the palms, the people in charge of Qatar, grease the palms of FIFA and said, all right, this is great. This is what we're going to do to make a World Cup. And we're going to deliver on promise 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then finally, when we got to World Cup year, they have delivered on none of promise above 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So there you go.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, it is disgusting and horrible how they have flagrantly ignored people's workers' rights in the building of these stadiums. That has to be talked about. Like, thousands of migrant workers died building these stadiums, which is awful. And Qatar's official stance on that is like, well, stuff happens. People die in every walk of life. Why are you making a big deal about this? But the reality is, if you look into that situation, and I'm not the journalist to break that to you. You can go read those articles and see. Qatar has a horrible record on that, and it's awful what has happened there. What is equally kind of weird about this, there were reports about people like literally sleeping in shipping containers, mm-hmm. workers, and then dying of heat exhaustion as they were, you know, well, Cutter would tell you they died of a heart attack. And it's like, well, yes, but they were otherwise healthy person who just dropped out of a heart attack. Suddenly, a lot of construction workers, does that happen to? Anyway, one of their stadiums is literally built out of shipping containers, which is just a weird reminder of that. And I think it's twisted, man. It is twisted. Also, I just saw a story this week that they're suddenly trying to like move all the beer sites off away from the public
viewing. After Budweiser InBev has paid to the tune of $75 million to be the presenting sponsor of this.
Right. And if you recall, in Brazil in 2014, Brazil has had soccer violence in stadiums. They had a problem with that. And so one of the things they viewed as a culprit of that was alcohol sales at stadiums. Yep. So they banned that in all like domestic leagues in Brazil. If there's a soccer game going on, they don't sell beer. That was a rule they had. Budweiser is so powerful. FIFA made them change the law to allow beer sales in stadiums for the World Cup sites. And then they, I guess, did away with that. Qatar is more powerful in that regard towards FIFA than Brazil. Brazil could not resist FIFA. Qatar has. So take that for what you will. That's just a weird situation, but it is obviously shows you how entrenched they are on their positions. Mm-hmm. The other thing, of course, that we have to address very quickly and not minimizing it in any way, it's also equally awful. The treatment of the LGBTQ community in Qatar, it's not recognized as mm-hmm. something that you can do in public. You cannot display affection in any way in public. So the reason I bring that up is because you will notice teams doing demonstrations in support of the LGBTQ community, and I think that's awesome, and I support that 100%. The U.S. national team, for what it's worth, they are badging. They have a rainbow-colored LGBTQ supportive badge that they use with the U.S. men's national team logo, but with the rainbow colors. That is at their official training site. That's the logo they are using. Mm-hmm. They're using it in the team hotel. They're not going to wear it in a uniform, which I wish they would. I wish they would go all the way with that. But I admire them at least for attempting to keep that in focus. Greg Berhalter has talked about that. England is also going to be doing protests in some regard to that.
See Harry Kane, the captain of England, wearing a rainbow armband, captain's armband.
Yes. So all of this is to say the World Cup is not without its controversy.
And listen, we've been doing this podcast for 4 years. We have, in our time doing this podcast, we have covered a lot.
We have. And so I will leave you with this. If you are someone who is personally turned off by all that and says, I can't watch the World Cup, I get it. I'm guessing if you're listening to this podcast, you're not that person. But maybe you're somewhere in between the chasm of I can't watch the World Cup at all, and I'm 100% okay with everything that ever happens with FIFA, mm-hmm. Qatar, the World Cup, etc. Here, I live in that chasm of the Grand Canyon like you do, Beamer. And where I am on this is, for me, I'm gonna try to leave as little of a footprint that benefits FIFA as possible. Now, I'm going to watch the games. They're on TV. That's going to benefit FIFA, right? It's going to benefit all these people who made these horrible decisions. But am I going to try to go to like, you know, an official watch party of something? No, where I'm going. I don't have to tell you to watch these games, but I'm saying like, I'm going to watch these games on TV. I'm going to hang out with my people. I'm going to be with people that support the same things I do. Mm-hmm. I am not going to try to spend a lot of money buying any FIFA related thing with this. No. That's just me. I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm not judging anyone who buys like a U.S. national team shirt or anything, nothing like that. I am just saying I do understand people who say I have a legitimate problem with this and the World Cup has its flaws.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like any ecosystem, right, that we live in, it's too big of a thing that I can't tell you I can completely extricate myself from it.
I'm with you.
That's kind of where I am on that. So I know that's kind of a weird way to start off a World Cup rah-rah preview, but I feel like we wouldn't be ourselves if we didn't bring that up and say we acknowledge all that and how much that sucks.
Of course, man. It's like anything. I mean, yeah, obviously we'll get to the games and the matchups and the breakdowns, but you mentioned it. There's a 10,000-pound elephant in the room that seriously needs to be addressed. And again, I mean, I know that this has been marred in controversy since they got it in 2010, and we're on the precipice of it happening. So best of luck.
Yeah.
Best of luck.
We talked about it in our group previews with Iran. I mean, you have women in that country protesting and being killed for their rights to stand. I mean, even in some of these countries, there are things going on at home that now that protest is coming to this. And then those players are involved in yet other situations and protests. So Yeah, you can't escape life in the World Cup. But that's the thing. The World Cup goes on sometimes during wars.
Yeah.
Currently going on. There are wars going on right now in the world. So that is the thing, right? The World Cup kind of goes through all of it and all the warts and everything wrong with the World Cup. We acknowledge those. And with that, now we jump into kind of looking at the actual games. Just know we hate FIFA. We hate FIFA as much as
you do. Not my guys.
Not my guys either. All right. So what we'll do here is just to give you a primer on how the World Cup works if you're not familiar with it. It is a, you know, there's four teams in a group. They're each going to play three games. They're going to play the other three teams in their group. And you get 3 points for a win, 1 point for a tie. No points for a loss, obviously. At the end of the three games, they're going to tally up the scores. So if you win all three of your games, you get 9 points. No one else in your group would be able to attain 9 points.
Yep.
You win the group. That's the easiest path to win. Mathematics beyond that is more than I can do in my head.
Mathematics beyond that is, let's, you know, take for example, you play three matches. You win one, you draw one, you lose one. That is 4 points. Chances are there's another group or another team in your group that has won one, drawn one, and lost one.
Right.
So if you add those up, you're saying, oh, to yourself, well, they both have 4 points. How do we decide who gets in? A little thing called goal differential. So
yes.
That means if I have a soccer team and I am part of the United States of America and I beat Bones' team, who is a part of England, and let's say that I win 5-1. That is a +4 goal differential for me on that game. I lose the next game 3-0. Okay, then my goal differential goes down from 3. Then it goes back down to 0, so it resets about the goals that you score equivalent to your opponent. You tally that up after 3 games, the highest points, and then if there is a tiebreaker on points, it goes to goal differential.
Yes,
if it is the same about that, then it is head-to-head. And then after that tiebreaker, I don't know what happens.
Then it comes back to who has the cooler flag. Like,
yes,
just wishing,
who wears the better jerseys.
That is voted on by a panel of experts that is including...
Not corrupt.
No. It's just, yeah, the only, yeah, it's exactly right. So we have pretty much laid out the tie-breaking scenarios there, which you will get into as this goes along. But that's, so when you, and then the final game in these groups, just this is also something that I'm sure most people know, but if you don't, the final game in these groups, that will be 2 games, 4 teams, they will be at the same time.
Yep.
So that no one gains an advantage by saying, oh, well, the other team lost, so all I have to do is get a tie. They both don't know what the other... Theoretically, they'll find out during the game. They're getting live updates, but the goal is to have the games played as fairly as possible. So the final game is played at the same time in each group. All right. So we'll go through the groups, and do you just want to call off who we think is going to win each group
and go from
there? All right.
Or a 1 and 2. Just we'll do a 1 and 2, and then we've got the bracket in front of us, and
we'll go from there.
Yep.
Okay. So Group A, it is the Netherlands, Senegal, Qatar, the host country, and Ecuador. I picked the Netherlands as my first team out and Senegal as the second team I have.
All right, so
coming out of that
remember
group.
This. If you go back 4 years' time, Netherlands missing out on the World Cup. This is their first World Cup that they have appeared in 8 long years, which is hard to believe for the Netherlands, such a great soccer nation. And they didn't get things done. Now they're in a great spot because they have, on his day, the best defender in the world with Virgil van Dijk. He can control the game out of the back. And my God, when he goes up for his header, it looks like the ball explodes and he's an offensive threat on set pieces as well. So I'm going to go with the Netherlands. I think they're the strongest group in this team, or excuse me, strongest team in this group by far. Now, I could have gone with Senegal, but we had an injury to Sadio Mane, who is a big-time player for them.
He'll still be with the team, but how much he's going to be able to go is really a big question mark going into this tournament.
And they have other good players as well. It's not just the Sadio Mane show.
Yeah,
like they are a good team, but he is the catalyst that makes them go.
I mean,
they're a good team, and he's a world-class player. When you put Sadio Mane on that team, on their day, they are equal footing, if not better, than a lot of teams in this tournament.
Here's the other problem, too. Senegal has Koulibaly, who's really good, Eduardo Mendy. Those guys are talented, but they have been struggling with Chelsea. They have been struggling with their club team. Mm-hmm. Does that translate over into this tournament? Sometimes it does, right? I mean, I don't know the answer. I'm presenting the question because anybody who's watched the World Cup for a long enough time knows sometimes this tournament is like a life-giving force, and it is a fountain of youth for some of these players, or it's just, hey, this is what I needed to break out of my funk, and they look awesome. You might have been familiar with a guy, Paul Pogba, who has had some up and down seasons with his club team, but with France 4 years ago,
my God,
was one of the most dominant players we've ever seen in a World Cup.
Yeah, so, and you're also going to see stars born in this tournament too. Kylian Mbappe, rewind the clock back 4 years ago. You knew who he was coming into the tournament as just a general soccer fan, and then coming off of the World Cup, it was just immediate rise to superstardom. So you will see stars born in this tournament, which I think is really cool. And you will see the last flames of some of these great players you've seen in these big international tournaments and in the you know, obviously the cup stages of their club teams and everything like that. So I think Netherlands is too strong of a group. Now, I could see Senegal not getting past the Netherlands. And Netherlands, I could see Netherlands with 9 points, T-Bone. I could see that. And then I could see Senegal racking up 6 points. I just think Ecuador and Qatar, I think, are obviously overmatched in this. They're the host nation. Okay, great. Good for them. Whatever. They're going to trot out on the first game day, which is this coming Sunday. That's the first game. That's the only game of that day. I think Qatar finishes with 0 points. I could see Ecuador finishing with 3. I think Senegal finishes with 6. And I think the Netherlands ultimately finish with 9. Now, that big game coming in this group is going to be Senegal-Netherlands. If both teams get a point, I think it gets a little more funky. But I got Netherlands 1, Senegal 2, Ecuador, Qatar eliminated.
Yeah, and if you happen to know anywhere in the world where you could watch a soccer game, and maybe you were going to go to a soccer bar to watch any of these games, November 21st, that is Senegal-Netherlands at 11 a.m. 2 p.m. is the U.S.'s first game on that same day, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So that's...
I will be there.
USA versus Wales. I will be there for... I will probably be there for Senegal-Netherlands, at least part of it. I won't be able to be there for the U.S. game, but I will be at whatever place you might go to watch these soccer games.
Yep.
Who knows where?
I will be at that unspoken
that unspoken place,
place
right. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying that's a day, November 21st, Senegal, Netherlands, and then the first game for the U.S. if you're a USA fan.
By the way,
that's the way to go.
Netherlands, watch out for this kid named Cody Gakpo. Very, very good.
Yes.
Plays left wing, and Manchester United tried to put a bid on him. His club team said, nope, that's not enough money. And since then has like dragged his team through Champions League, and it's like kind of a one-man show. So
yeah,
he is a tremendous player.
He's got a little Kylian Mbappe, like could be a guy that you see
breakout
in this
potential
tournament.
Breakout star, Cody Gakpo. That's
where
the guy
people
to
who
for.
Don't watch all of every Champions League match and don't watch all the ins and outs of European soccer, they might get to find out who he is in this tournament. Do we want to do Group B now and just go ahead and hit it? Because, I mean, it's in order.
Well, our USA preview is already out.
Yeah, so you can hear what we think of that. But in this case, I mean, I am of the opinion, as much as it has given me concern before, my optimism is turning. I'm going to somehow believe the U.S. gets out of this group. Now, here's what's facing them, the challenge that's facing them. England, one of the top five teams in the tournament on paper, if not top three. I mean, they are excellent. They have a lot of talent on their roster. Will it all pan out? Who knows? There's always a team with
they're
top
England.
Five talent. Well, yeah, that the response to that is you're exactly right. They're England, so it doesn't always pan out for them, but they have started to play better. They made it to the Euro finals, right? I mean, this is a team that certainly has the ability.
Made it to the semifinals last World Cup.
Yes, they did, right. So they've been there, done that as far as getting out of the group stage. No question in my mind, they're the team that gets out of the group from here easily. Iran, Wales, and the U.S., they are all fairly well matched. And there are plenty of good reasons not to think the U.S. is going to make it out of this group. I am going to say that you see a couple guys break out for this team in this World Cup.
And why is it Gio Reyna to you?
Well, listen, this is the thing that everyone has been holding their breath for with U.S. men's national team. If Gio Reyna can stay healthy and be 100% for like a month out of this four-year cycle, you may see this team do great things.
Yep.
He's that dynamic of a player, and I think he changes so much of what the U.S. national team needs to do. They need someone like him who is able to just get the ball at midfield, make a pass, make a run, get the ball back, and finish. And Christian Pulisic can play well off a guy like him. Tyler Adams will find him and help. Like, that midfield could be so good if that combination is working. If he is healthy, I think that is a big key. And I mentioned the other guy who I think is a huge key. It's not Christian Pulisic, although he's important too. Tyler Adams comes to play in this tournament, U.S. can go do things. He's good. He's solid. I think, you know, between him and Weston McKennie, like, both these guys have the potential to change this tournament for this U.S. national team. But my eyes are on Tyler Adams for this tournament. I think he's special.
So the way that this goes out for me, I'm with you. England just far too powerful, I think, far too deep, far too experienced when it comes to World Cups. And now they've got it, and they're gunning for the big prize, and they're gunning for the cup. I think they're too strong. I think England win this group. It all comes down to me. What do you do in match number one? What do you do against Wales? If you beat Wales,
I think you've got a real shot.
If you beat Wales, you have a real shot. Then it's a crapshoot against England. Okay, turn around. Then know what you need to do against Iran. Iran, very, very good as well.
Oh, that's not going to be a pushover for the U.S. in game number three.
I see Wales being the team that I just don't like their team. Their depth isn't very good, and they're just kind of plucky, but you don't really know what's going to happen with them. Yeah, they've got great club experience, but other than that, are they ready for their second only World Cup? I think Wales finishes last, and then I think we go to gold. I think we go to goal differential. I think you need to run it up on Wales, honestly.
If they can. I mean, and here's the other thing. That means if you get, let's say you get a 2-1 win against Wales, which I'm not saying is a given by any stretch.
No, God, no.
But that means when you play England, you almost have to park the bus and say, or not park the bus, but you've got to be so defensively sound to say, we are not going to give up more than a goal. And we are going to, I mean, like, you're playing for a 0-0 draw. That's my strategy if I'm the U.S. national
team. I think if you're the
team.
U.S., you are playing to get to that last match day against Iran and be competitive with that.
Yeah, right. But Iran at that point, too, I mean, there's no easy out in this tournament. I mean, I know people, there's different arguments about what the group of death is. Mm-hmm. Like, Wales, tough, Iran, right, and the U.S. are all three ranked in the FIFA top 50 or top 20. They're, like, between 15 and 20, each mm-hmm. of them. So they're just, they're all kind of right there looking at, they're not any of this. This is not the sexiest group in the world, but it's a group that absolutely, that's the second spot is going to be a meat grinder to get to it. I'm just going to remain hopeful that the U.S. gets there.
I'm going to go the U.S. just because I'm American.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm cheering. I'm up in the lads, Bone.
This is,
all right?
Yeah, this is for you. You're rooting with your heart. I get that. So Group C is Argentina and that is also Mexico, Saudi Arabia, and Poland. Out of this group, I said on our preview podcast, and I stick with it, I have got Argentina coming out, winning the group, and I'm going to go with Mexico to come
too.
Out.
Yep.
But Poland is tough.
Poland has Robert Lewandowski.
Yeah,
so,
right.
So, like, best player in the world, perhaps. Arguably, best striker in the world as well. It's what can he do? Now, the guys around Robert Lewandowski, maybe not the best players, but again, you have Robert freaking Lewandowski. So the key to Mexico, again, in this kind of weird new era that they're in, is all about conjuring up the spirits of Meme Ochoa and what he can do.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to need to get back into form when he rolls out of the closet every 4 years and just becomes one of the best shot stoppers in the world. If Mexico can conjure that up, then I think they have a realistic opportunity of getting out of this group. By the way, Saudi Arabia, very good team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's not going to be a pushover team either. This is a tough group, too. I will say, Tuesday, November 22nd, Mexico-Poland, 11 a.m., first game to start this one off.
Another one where you got to get
on your calendar and watch it. That may determine this group as far as who comes out in that second spot. But I do think Argentina comes out. And then we go from there as far as what Argentina can do. We'll talk about more of that in a little bit. Group D, you have France, you have Australia, you have Denmark, and you have Tunisia. This is going to be a group that I think is fairly straightforward. I think it's France and Denmark. I don't think I'm breaking any news there.
No, Denmark is a very good team. And you look at their run in the Euros, they got to the semifinal, they go crashing out, they're going to be rallying. Christian Eriksen, obviously in the team after a scary situation a couple of years ago, or I guess just last summer, with what he had there. This is a motivated group. I like Denmark in this group. I don't like them as much as France. France has a FIFA lineup, literally video game mode. They are so deep, and that's even without N'Golo Kanté and Paul Pogba.
They do, but that is something to keep in mind here. They are missing some of their biggest stars due to injuries. So, like,
and Rafael Varane is also like game time decision for them because he got hurt for his club. What was that, 3-4 weeks ago or something? So, like, backbone and also defensive backbone, where you have N'Golo Kanté kind of throwing it up to Pogba. Pogba's the playmaker. They're without Pogba and N'Golo Kanté, which makes them work.
Those are two huge losses for them. But like you said, they're so deep.
Yeah.
They have plenty of talent there that can replace that.
By the way, how does trying to stop Karim Benzema and Kylian Mbappe, how does that sound?
Yes. Yeah. The talent on that roster, the top end talent especially.
I'm going France and Denmark.
Yeah, I'm going same. Although I said this on our group preview, I'm not nearly as confident in France as you were 4 years ago and as I would have been up until about a month ago when we heard of some of these injuries and realized, uh-oh, they're going to be missing some guys. Yeah, like France, full strength, no doubt number one team out of this group. France, where they are now, Denmark has a legit shot to end up with that one seed.
I think Denmark has a legit shot at nine. I think it's going to be France 9, Denmark 6, and then the rest fall.
You think France wins all three?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Interesting.
I do.
So we have in Group E, we have...
the Germans.
Yeah. Germany, Spain, Costa Rica, Japan. We talked about this in our group preview a bit, but I am going to go with Germany coming out of that group number one because I think they are back to being the Germany. They've turned over their roster for the most part. They still have some of the old names you're familiar with, but for the most part, they have completely changed up what they're doing, have a new manager there. They are out of the Joachim Löw era. I think Germany comes out of this group one. Spain comes out two, although Japan is certainly going to give a big challenge here, and I don't think that's unwarranted to mention that, but Germany, Spain is where we go.
Yeah, I'm
right where
you.
I go.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Germany, it's always when nobody's talking about Germany, it's when they seem to flourish, and everybody's talking about Spain, and if Japan can clip them, which makes Germany the most dangerous team in this group. Germany 1, Spain 2. Japan misses out narrowly, but I think this is a good group to watch. I think Costa Rica, unfortunately, finishes with 0 points.
Japan may be a goal differential type of thing, right?
Yep.
Where, I mean, they could easily match, you know, whichever, if it's Germany or Spain, they could match them on points, but I just feel like those two rosters are the best. And we should mention here, Japan... it really sucks they got this draw
because
they could easily go out of the group stage in pretty much
any
other...
I'm thankful they're not in the U.S.'s group. I'll just say that.
No kidding, right? Yeah. Like, that's no doubt about that. Group F. So in this one, you've got Morocco, Croatia, Belgium, and Canada. Big story, the good story for Canada. I think it ends here. Belgium is your number one team for me coming out of this group. And they are the aging Belgian squad that, you know, has been there for better part of three World Cup cycles now where it's like, yeah, they had the young squad and they had the squad that was right there and they still have that squad, but that squad is aging quite a bit. Still though, these guys are in their late 20s, early 30s. Not out of the question. They could easily make a big run in this tournament. I would quantify them more as a dark horse to win this tournament, but they are not out of the question to win the World Cup.
No, they're certainly not. Anytime Kevin De Bruyne is playing a soccer match, I'm inclined to watch. He is brilliant at what he does. And that game between Belgium and Croatia, you get Luka Modric and Kevin De Bruyne on the same field at the same time for oppositions. I think it's going to be one of the most fun, at least for a neutral perspective, games to watch in the tournament. It could decide who's going to be one and two. Don't sleep on Morocco. They are teetering on being the best team in Africa as well. A lot of good players for them. They play as a unit. I like them. I just think, unfortunately for Canada, they kind of draw the short end of the stick.
They really did, man.
Yeah,
they got
like,
stuck
sucks.
In a tough group.
That sucks for them.
There's no doubt Croatia's got the talent. There's no doubt Belgium's got the aging talent, but the talent still. And Morocco, like you said, is, I would say, the best team in Africa. Or, I mean, it's them and Senegal, right?
Yeah.
Like, those are the two. But Morocco... They are a very good team. Like, Canada is just in a spot where if Canada makes it out of this group, it would be one of the biggest stories
in
the World Cup. It would be a huge shock. I'm not trying to dismiss Canada in any way, shape, or form. They were the best team in CONCACAF. Yeah. I mean, they
drew the short end of the straw.
They really did.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying the U.S.'s draw was easy, but would you want the U.S. to be in a group with Belgium and Morocco and Croatia? No.
No.
No way.
God, no.
Croatia. I couldn't.
I wouldn't want that to happen.
No, that was bad luck for Canada, I got
to
say.
Hey, the good news is that they're going to get to host here in 4 years' time.
That's
true.
Well, so are all our us, Mexico and Canada, are all going to get to do that. All right, so Group F, I have Belgium and Croatia coming out. Is
same,
that
Belgium okay. 1, Croatia 2.
Yep. Group G, Brazil is in this group, so Brazil's coming out of this group. You can just go ahead and mark that down. Mm-hmm. That would be a tremendous upset if that did not happen. They have not, as we talked about in our group stage preview, they've not missed one in God knows how long was it.
I forget. Yeah, whatever it
like
is.
The 60s. But they've not come out of
it. Put them in marker.
Yep. Brazil. And then you have Switzerland, Serbia, and Cameroon for the final spot, I feel like. And I picked in our group preview Serbia. They have a big rivalry with Switzerland. There was a thing 4 years ago that we covered in the group stage preview here for Group G. I think Serbia gets back and wins against Switzerland. I think you went the other way and said Switzerland.
I'm going Switzerland.
Yep.
I'm going Switzerland finishing second, and Brazil, I'll explain my reasons in a minute.
They're just so good.
I'm going Brazil. Number one, Switzerland, number two.
Group H, Portugal and Uruguay are who I have coming out of this one, but you also have Ghana and South Korea are in this group as well. Ghana, not the same Ghana of old. I don't think they are going to do much in this group. Love for them to prove me wrong. Portugal, all kinds of drama with some guy who's been there forever named Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yep.
Did you see the video of him and Bruno Fernandes?
How could I miss it?
Bruno, if you didn't see this, Bruno Fernandes, his teammate on Portugal.
Great player for Portugal.
Yeah. Bruno Fernandes walks in. He also is a teammate of his at Manchester United. And Bruno Fernandes walked into the room where Portugal players are gathered in Qatar, walked up to Cristiano Ronaldo like, oh, hello, and gave him a quick courtesy handshake and then immediately turned and walked away. And Cristiano Ronaldo's face was like,
stunned.
That's all I get?
Yeah, you dope.
Yes.
Why don't you think you were arriving at the same time?
Right, because you just torched Manchester United and then went to Qatar for 6 weeks.
Yeah, awesome.
And Bruno Fernandes thought, you know,
I wonder if that's going to impact them and their play at all. And they're notoriously bad at playing together with Portugal anyways.
I mean, that's it, right? Like, Portugal is, I think, the most talented on this group. And we talked about this in the World Cup or the group preview. Uruguay is talented as well. They're in this transitional period, kind of like Portugal is, between the old guard and the new guard. Mm-hmm. Uruguay is talented. I'm not taking anything away from them. I think Portugal is the best team, but will they all play together? There's an argument to be made. Maybe Portugal does get just dropped out of this group and doesn't make it out, which would be hilarious to me with Cristiano Ronaldo.
I agree.
But I don't think that's likely. I think Portugal does win the group. I think Uruguay comes in second. But I think this is a fun, contested group. South Korea makes it very interesting.
Stars born in this group. Federico Valverde, unbelievable player for Uruguay. You're going to be seeing a lot of him. Yeah. You're going to be hearing a lot of him. And also, welcome new left back. Best new left back in the world. Nuno Mendes plays for PSG. He is, I believe, 19 or 20 years old. Watch him when you're watching Portugal.
Yeah.
Watch him.
Go ahead.
Just watch that guy.
Yeah.
All right? I was going to say, he's like, you remember Alphonso Davies a couple of years ago, where you're watching him play for Vancouver, and then you're like, oh, he's playing for Bayern Munich. Oh, he's locking down some of the best players in the world. Oh, he might be the best left back in the world. That's this year's guy.
Yeah.
That's this year's guy. Nuno Mendes, watch for him. I got Uruguay number one. I got Portugal two.
Anytime I can watch a left back who covers a lot of ground, who just blazes
like
up
gazelle.
The sidelines, I love to tune in and watch those type of left backs play. So I'm with you on Portugal. That is a great call to watch him and keep an eye on him throughout this tournament. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll break down round of 16 and who goes forward and who is your champion in the World Cup. You are listening to the Bone and Beam United World Cup 2022 preview, brought to you by someone you're going to hear about right now. Welcome back to our World Cup 2022 preview podcast of Bone and Beam United. Of course, you can subscribe to the podcast wherever you find these podcasts, just whatever you're listening on, just hit subscribe. Also, if you rate and like the podcast, that helps other people find it. We greatly appreciate that. And you can follow us on Twitter at Bone Beam United. Always a welcome thing to do. And I would like to think that Twitter page will be nice and active over the next month or so.
Given I'm going to be drunk, firing off tweets.
Yeah, go there for and play the game of who's tweeting and how drunk are they? Is that Bone tweeting or is it Beam tweeting? Remember when we started the podcast, I used to try to make this thing happen where I would say, like, our intern Reggie would be, I try to, like, say Reggie ran everything, and there was no Reggie. I don't know why I did that. It was stupid. All right.
Everything we do here is stupid.
Well, that's fair enough. Okay, so I have figured out that if my group predictions, which they won't be, but if my group predictions are 100% correct, and my round of 16 predictions are 100% correct, my quarterfinals are going to be
lit
fire, but we'll get there in a moment. Round of 16, here are the matchups we have based on how we picked. I have the Netherlands taking on the U.S. Mm-hmm. If the U.S. finishes second, Netherlands wins their group, that would be the next matchup for the U.S.
I also have that.
Let me tell you right now, with all due respect, I don't see the U.S. beating the Netherlands. As much as I'd love to see that happen, I don't think it does.
Imagine a time and a place when we get to match 49 of the World Cup, which is December 3rd, right at 10 a.m., right in a nice little sweet spot for us. that the Stars and the Stripes will line up against Virgil van Dijk. That sounds like a terrifying prospect.
Hey, you know what, though? Virgil van Dijk? Not the same Virgil van Dijk
no,
we've seen
bad
of years past.
Not bad, right. Not bad Virgil. Not as good as Virgil has been. Still a very good Virgil.
Oh, imagine like Christian Pulisic scoring a goal, or dare I say it, the Medford Messi of Brendan Aaronson comes in and just scores a goal, and then Virgil van Dijk's hands on hips as those guys are running and celebrating. What a scene that would be. Don't think it's likely, though, but Netherlands-USA, I'll say the Netherlands wins that. I have Argentina-Denmark as my 1C-2D matchup. That would be a great game. I would pick Argentina to win that one, as Denmark is very good.
I pick Argentina to win that, and I think whoever wins this, and again, these will all go to hell when the group stages actually happen, and neither Argentina finishes first or the Denmark finishes second in their group. Whoever wins this game, I think, can go a very, very long way in this tournament. I'm with you. I go Argentina. It's Messi's last run. They've got a lot there. They're motivated. Yeah. They've come so close in the past. I go Argentina, but for some reason, I would like to see Denmark win. I have no reason why. Maybe it's because Christian Eriksen literally died on the soccer field last year, and I think that would be a fantastic story.
Oh, what a story that would be.
That would
be
great, and they're a good team, and they're veterans, and they all came around together, and they were the kind of the miracle story coming out of the Euros last year, and to see them do that, upset Argentina, I think would be fantastic. I don't see it happening. I could see that one going the distance. I could see that being a 120-minute game. I could see that one going into penalties. I think it'll be a good one.
I can see a lot of these going to penalties. Yeah. They will be some obvious. It's very good stuff once you get to the knockout round. And we didn't mention this, but so it should be said, as you mentioned, knockout round is just that. You play one game. Whoever wins, they have to have a winner. It goes to 30 minutes of extra time, not a golden goal. You could score 5 goals in the extra time. It doesn't matter. They're going to keep playing for the full, 30 more minutes after 90 to get to 120 minutes. And then after 2 hours of soccer, if it's still tied, that's when we go to penalty kicks, and then it goes from there until somebody wins.
Yep.
Next up, Germany is who I have coming out of Group E as the winner, and then I have the second-place team out of Group F being Croatia.
Ooh.
So I have Germany-Croatia, and if that matchup occurs, you know who I'm picking.
Yep, your guy.
I'm a Modric maniac
yes,
right
you
here.
Are.
I'm a Luka for life guy. Love him so much. Last run for him too in the World Cup, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, he's 37 years old. Was one of the best players in the tournament last time around, though, 4 years ago. Almost took them all the way. I'm going to say Croatia gets it done. Say Croatia beats Germany if that's the matchup.
I've told you, I think a lot of people are sleeping on Germany. They say, they're not as good, whatever. Old guard's coming out, whatever. People are sleeping on them. They're not that good anymore. First of all, this Germany team, let's flip the clock back 4 years ago, got bounced in the group stage, or maybe the round of 16, whatever it was. It wasn't up to German performance. I mean, dear God, this is a team that has won the World Cup 4 times. They have lofty expectations over there. I also have Germany and Croatia. I think Germany win this game handily. I think that the Germans are back on a mission, and I think that's a terrifying prospect. So unfortunately, your boy Luka Modric goes out to the Germans.
Yeah, that's fine. Brazil and Uruguay is who I have in the next matchup here. Because I have Brazil winning Group G and Uruguay finishing second.
A little CONMEBOL action.
Yeah, it is a South American matchup in the group stage, which would be awesome to see. I'm going with Brazil in this one. Brazil has certainly had their struggles at times in group stage matches in the World Cup, but this won't be one of them. I think Brazil is the best team in this tournament, and I think they get it done.
All right. I have Portugal as the second seed. I have Uruguay winning that group. So a battle of the Portuguese, right? I mean, we'll be able,
right?
Everybody will know what everybody's saying. I think Cristiano Ronaldo, Bruno Fernandes get it figured out in the group. And I think they're in for a rude awakening when they play Brazil. Asses kicked on a platter.
I think
firmly by Brazil.
I think so. That would be quite the thing. And that would mean that Brazil would be the ones to knock out Cristiano Ronaldo from his final World Cup.
Correct.
So that's something to keep an eye on.
Mm-hmm.
More on that in a moment. Now, other side of this bracket, I have England as your 1 seed coming out of Group B, and I have Senegal as your 2 seed coming out of Group A. So that's a fine matchup there.
Yeah, that's great.
Especially if Sadio Mane is healthy. That would be, we don't know how that'll play out, right? He may get another knock in this World Cup. He may not be very effective in this World Cup. Or he may be fine after a game or two and be at full strength by this point. And that's a terrifying proposition if you're England.
Well, it is terrifying. And what also is terrifying is that Senegal's best players play in the Premier League. So they have a very base familiarity of who's stars England and they're trotting out with.
Yeah.
I think that's one to watch out for. I think England are a little bit too strong. I have England moving on to the quarters.
I do as well. Indeed. Next up, Group D winners, France is who I have. And I have them going up against the second team from Group C that I have being Mexico. So France and Mexico. Solid matchup. France, again, we don't know what they are going to be because of some of the injuries, but they are so deep. And while I think that Mexico team can be a good roster, they have a lot of guys playing in Europe. They have guys playing in the Premier League. Like, it's not that they don't have talent there. I just think France would be too much talent, even with the injuries they've sustained. I think France would win that.
It's just too much.
Yeah, it's France, like, man.
They just have too much. And even with the injuries to N'Golo Kanté, even with the injuries to Paul Pogba, like, you're without two of your best guys from the last time that you won a World Cup 4.5 years ago. Possibly that Rafael Varane is back and fully healthy for this game, and when you get to the knockouts, like, how much are you really going to need him in the group stage? I don't know. I have a hard time envisioning Mexico handling this game very well. It's just too much. Like, yeah. It's honestly, it's too much talent. They play, they're confident, and I don't know if they should be given their recent form, but by God, they're the trophy holders, and you get them into a knockout stage with world-class talent at every position. I can't see Mexico hanging in unless they get an Ochoa game where he stops like 40 shots.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's always the key, right? If you have a goaltender or goalkeeper who can hang with anybody, and he's shown that in the past. I don't know if he's still that guy, but if he can conjure that up like Tim Howard did against Belgium,
exactly
right, if you can still get one more of those games out of your best player, who is your goalkeeper in that situation, if that is your best player, that can keep you in a game that otherwise you don't deserve to be in. But I think France wins this game as well. Belgium is who I have coming out of Group F as your one seed. I have Spain coming out mm-hmm. of Group E as your two, so that means Belgium and Spain. Nice, tasty matchup there.
Yeah, very good. This is a weird Spain team, right? I mean, they come in, expectations different. They have dropped Sergio Ramos. He is not playing for this team. David De Gea is not on this team as well. So we talked about it in our group stage preview. It's a new era of Spanish team. And when you find a team like that, Bone, you could either play two ways. Either, well, we haven't been here before, the pressure is a lot, it gets to us. Or you don't know the difference. You don't know the pressure. You don't understand it. I mean, these are guys, obviously, who play for the Spanish national team, even though they're younger players. Pedri's played like 90 games over the last calendar year. Like, it's ridiculous the amount of soccer that kid has played. So he knows the pressure. I mean, he plays for Barcelona. All these guys understand that. For whatever reason, I think it's one last run out of Belgium from these guys until, like, Eden Hazard barely plays for Real Madrid, right? Like, if you come in, can you get back into form? Can you find the magic? Romelu Lukaku, same thing. Like, big names haven't been playing well, haven't been playing at all at some points. But if you get into this, you know, you're playing good soccer, into the group, you're training well, like, on any day, Belgium can beat any team in the world. They're the number two ranked team, I think. I've got Belgium coming out of this one. I think this one is a scratch claw your way, either a 2-1 or a 1-1 penalties into extra time game.
Yeah, I'm going to take Spain to come out of this game.
All right.
Just because I think Spain is pretty strong, and if it wasn't for them being in a group with Germany, they probably win a group that they were in. But I will take Spain to get it done over Belgium in this one, and that ends that kind of long run that Belgium team has. Mm-hmm. And now you pick up the pieces 4 years after and see what they look like the next time around. Could be a totally different squad, but next time we talk about them. All right, this is where it also gets a little weird, because I think we picked different teams here. I have Portugal and Serbia as the final match. Portugal coming out of Group H as the one seed, Serbia as the two seed out of Group G. And you have, I think, Uruguay versus Switzerland?
Correct.
So, all right, let's talk about my game and then your game, because it's totally different games. But if it's Portugal-Serbia, I'm going to say that Portugal gets it done. As much as I think Serbia is an interesting and good team, I think Portugal would just, that would, if they make it out, if Portugal makes it out of the group and does what I think they could do, if they are this one seed, then that means their drama and their issues with Cristiano Ronaldo and all that awkwardness, that means they've put that behind them for this tournament and they've gotten forward and they've done good things. So I'm going to say Portugal wins this game, which does set up a nice matchup in the quarterfinals, but we'll get there in a moment.
All right,
what is your matchup?
Yes. I have Uruguay against Switzerland, which are totally two different teams. Uruguay, team to watch for me.
Yeah.
This team, I love Federico Valverde and his form coming in. Just, again, like, you'll see players who you're like, man, that guy's good. And then you'll Google and be like, oh, yeah, he is good. You know, like, what he is doing at his club and his recent form. So this is a team that is very old, right? You've got Edinson Cavani. You have Luis Suarez. I mean, my God, I think Diego Godin is still playing for Uruguay, which is hard for me even to comprehend that that guy's still on their team. Regardless, I think Uruguay win. I think this is the least salacious. That's the word. I think this is the least salacious matchup, but I think it could get you a good game. I'm taking Uruguay to move on. That sets up a Belgian-Uruguay quarterfinal.
I also don't feel like salivating over it, for what it's worth. So yeah. It's not salivatory, I guess.
Yeah.
Either way, whatever. That was fine. All right, quarterfinal matchups. Here's what I have, and then we'll go on each bracket point. We'll go from what I have, what you have. We'll talk about these games. The Netherlands, I have the Netherlands-USA winner and the Argentina-Denmark winner. I have Netherlands and Argentina.
I have that same exact thing.
That is, what a game that would be. Now, I think this would mean, if Argentina gets to this point, that Lionel Messi is playing like Lionel Messi. Mm-hmm. He is playing on a big stage, and I'm going to say that would mean Argentina does things that they are expected to do. I think they would win this game if that is the case. Argentina just has so much firepower. They have so many talented players. And I feel like this generation, they know, like, this is your last chance with Messi to go do something in the World Cup. I think that's special to them. I think it means something. And I think they will be playing with that extra burden. Not burden. It is a burden.
It's a sense of responsibility.
Yeah, responsibility is a better word.
You've carried us for so long. Let us carry you.
And I think they will take that into account, and this will be a game where you see them playing at their absolute best. So I think Argentina would beat the Netherlands in that scenario.
I agree 1,000%.
Beautiful.
Argentina moving on into the semifinals. Can I interest you, though, if USA gets out of their group, if they finish second, if they beat Netherlands? Yeah.
Do you know how big that would be?
Obviously, a lot of things would have to go right for this to happen.
Oh, yes, of course.
But you're talking about the U.S. I can't envision us beating the Netherlands anyway.
Again, but if they did,
the USA versus Lionel Messi and Argentina,
it would be
the
biggest number a soccer game has ever gotten in the U.S. Yes. Period. If that happened from a TV standpoint, it would be absolutely bat crap insane, and that would be on. I don't even know what they don't have a date for that one because it would be determined at that point, but it'd probably be sometime the week of like. December 10th or something there. December 8th, December 10th, something like that. All right. The other quarterfinal matchup. Now, this is, again, where it gets a little different. I had Croatia beating Germany.
It's on the 9th. That game is on the 9th.
Oh, that would be on the
9th. Right in the middle in those red spots.
Croatia beating Germany is what I had. And then I had Brazil beating Uruguay. So that leads to a Croatia-Brazil matchup. And as much as I love Croatia and Luka Modric, I'm not picking against Brazil in this game. Brazil would win this game if that is the matchup. I just think they are too talented. They are too much. Neymar goes off in this tournament and I think has a spectacular part of this tournament where he really shines, and this could be the game where he just goes off.
He was the prince that was promised 8 years ago. He was the poster boy, and I have Germany against Brazil, and 8 years ago, Germany handed out one of the biggest
ass
whoopings.
That's right. That's who you have this matchup as. That was the, was it 7-1?
Yeah.
In Brazil.
In Brazil. In a World Cup semifinal. Oh. To get to the finals in your home country.
And they got, Brazil got destroyed at home Germany.
I mean, it was to the point where you were watching every 5 minutes, it was goal, 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 goal. Yeah. Like, it was nuts. Yeah. It was one of those moments where I'll remember exactly where I was at watching this game. I'm like, I cannot believe that this is physically happening to Brazil. David Luiz is crying. Pets' heads are falling off.
I've never seen a team at that level be so dismantled by another team of what should be equal caliber matchup. And it was just,
Germany was a machine.
Well, it was a machine, but also it shows you the psychological nature of sports, not just soccer, sports in general, where that is not to say Brazil that year was so bad. It is to say that Brazil just got in their own head. They had too much riding on it and they could not undo the fact that once they got down a couple goals, were gone. They were mentally gone in that game. That is not this scenario, though. That would be Brazil not forgetting what Germany did.
That would be Brazil remembering what Germany did. I think it's payback. I've got Brazil. I have Argentina in a World Cup semifinal. And
that would also, let me tell you, there's really, if Argentina makes it to, that previous game we were talking about, Argentina to the U.S., if that were the matchup, that would be the biggest rating you've probably ever seen for a soccer game in America. Argentina-Brazil in a World Cup semifinal may also be one of those type of numbers that would be pretty awesome to see. So, yeah, we'll get to that one in a second. Let's go to the other side of the bracket. I have just a tasty little rivalry here. England versus France.
Same.
The battle of the channel. The battle of the channel. That's who. England and France in a quarterfinal matchup.
Come on, do it. Do it.
You know, I'm not going to – look.
Do it.
I want France to beat England. I would be rooting for France to beat England. I don't think they would. I think England would win that game.
Coming home?
Yeah, I don't know. Stay tuned.
I think France whoops England. it's coming home. We got Harry Kane. We got all these guys. And then France, they just – they're too good.
Don't get me wrong. I think England is susceptible to falling apart. I just think that France team, like, again, if it's the full strength, Paul Pogba and N'Golo Kante France that we're talking about, then I'm more with you on that. I think England, assuming they get to this point, they are at full strength. They're playing well. Harry Kane's leading that team.
I don't trust England for a second. Trust England, and I don't trust France either, but my God, have you watched Karim Benzema play soccer in the last year?
You're right. You're right. That top two.
Oh, it's disgusting.
How's England's back line, by the way?
Harry Maguire.
Predicted to be awesome that's a weakness that England does have.
I would imagine France, if they get into this matchup, plan to exploit.
You're right. They would. But I'm gonna say England would beat France.
Okay.
You're gonna say France would beat England?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yep.
We'll pick those up in a moment. Meanwhile, what I ended up with in my bracket is a Spain-Portugal matchup.
Pretty good. The Iberian Peninsula
battle. And I would pick Spain in that one. That's where I think, can you imagine Spain sending Cristiano Ronaldo night-night in the World Cup? Could you imagine if that were to be the way it played out? The Spanish fans would be thrilled. I don't think there'd be any love lost there between them and Cristiano Ronaldo, even for those who are Real Madrid fans, but... The point is, yes, I would pick Spain to get that done. What say you? If it were Spain Portugal, and then you have a different matchup, I believe.
If it were Spain Portugal, I'd pick the Spaniards.
Yeah,
I'd pick the Spanish. I think it can work in two ways. It can work in either you're too young to understand pressure, or you're too young to fully embrace the pressure, and then you crumble. I would have Spain winning that theoretical matchup between you, but. I actually have Belgium and Uruguay in my matchup.
That'd be an exciting one as well. That'd be a lot of fun.
In a quarterfinal matchup, and that game happens December 10th. That is your last quarterfinal, I do believe. And I have Uruguay getting to the semifinals.
I could see that, yeah.
I think there's one team every couple of years, Croatia was it, 4 years ago, where you're like, oh boy, Croatia, okay, that's interesting. Good team. Again, a mix of like great veterans who have been around the game for a long, long time, who have been playing for a long time, representing their national team, a mixture of youth, and I think you need that. I'm going Uruguay against France in my semifinal.
Uruguay definitely has that, the old guys and young guys mixing possibly in a really good, fun way. I don't disagree with you on that at all, and I think Uruguay has definitely some intrigue in this one. I had them going up against Brazil, which is why I don't have them winning, but yeah, I think they have a better combination of that than Belgium does. Mm-hmm. Belgium, I think, is still mostly old
guard. And also Darwin Nunez, like playing for Liverpool, has been pretty good this year. Like, that's another guy as well.
Yeah.
So I just, for whatever reason, I think Uruguay are that team this year. And they could very well crash out in the group stage. I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, either way, that is going to be a fun matchup. If it is Spain-Portugal, if it is Uruguay-Belgium, I think we'd sign up for either of those. All right. So here are the semifinals that I have, and then we'll go with the ones that you have. Mm-hmm. I have Argentina and Brazil in the semifinals, and England and Spain in the semifinals. Do you have?
Talk about two gigantic rivalries. I have I have Argentina and Brazil as well, and I have France and Uruguay as my other semifinal.
Okay.
So we're both the same on one side of the bracket. I think we're almost identical on one side of the bracket.
Yeah, we are.
Very completely opposite on the other. So I've got.
Let's do the one we're the same on, and then we'll go to the two matchups that we have that are different. How about that?
All right.
Argentina and Brazil, in that matchup, I just feel like this Brazil team is too strong, and I feel like as good as Argentina would have to be to get to this point, and as much of a magician as Lionel Messi would be, I think Brazil is just for me, this is kind of the theme of my picks this whole time. I feel like Brazil is sick and tired of hearing about the years that have gone by and all these other teams
of
greatness.
Lost generation.
They've been sitting there listening to them. Everyone talk about how they haven't, you know, won a World Cup since 2002. And yeah, they've won all these World Cups, but they haven't done anything in 20 years. And I just think they would be, Argentina would be the symbol of the last 20 years of a team that, while they have not managed to get, they also have those same demons, right? With Lionel Messi never being able to get to a World Cup final and win
Mario Götze, a winner from Germany a few years ago.
Yeah, right. Like
that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the type of thing that certainly both these teams would have. I just think Brazil is the more talented roster and would have more of that, you know, that impetus to get it done. And the pressure, I think that's where it would cave in on Argentina, where they would all feel this pressure to get Messi over the top, get him to the final. And I think that's where they would fall apart. And Brazil would just be – Brazil has been there. They went through that 2014 thing. Not all these players were on that, but Neymar was there.
They went through the 2018 thing where they lost to France,
yes,
eventual
right.
champions.
Yeah, right. So I think they've had enough of the experience in that way to say, no, we know what it takes now. We're at that level. I think Brazil would get it done and make it to the final in
the
that
thing
matchup.
That I go back to with Brazil, and you can talk about Vinicius, and you can talk about Neymar.
And we haven't talked about Vinicius, but my God, is he
and
good.
You can talk about Rodrigo, and you can talk about Fred, right? I mean,
your guy.
Fred, I love Fred. He's the best. He had one of the best lines of all time. Like, I carry the piano so the musical artist can play, and I mm-hmm. think that's great. Like, he's not going to wow you. The thing that I keep going back to with Brazil is, let alone their offensive firepower that they have, like them and France, by far the most loaded offensive teams. Like, not easy to go through CONMEBOL and Cup qualifying. We know that. I think we've talked about this before on our earlier podcast. I think that's the most difficult, you know, federation to qualify out of. Brazil scored 40 goals in qualifying and they only allowed 5. Like, yeah. I keep going back to that number.
In a not horrible soccer federation, like one of the best soccer federations that there are in the world.
You're playing teams, Bone, I have Argentina and Uruguay and Brazil as 3 out of my 4. That's 3 out of 4 teams from CONMEBOL. And I just, for whatever reason, I keep going back to that defensive number and how they were through qualifying. And yeah, they can score goals of the best. And when they get into their, you know, samba routine where they're flicking the ball all over the field, they're doing back heels, and they just play free.
Yeah.
Like, they are the most fun team in the world to watch when they have that samba flair and they've got the mentality of, we're Brazilian, we're better than you, we know it. Their defense
it's so good right now.
It's what works for them, and I think it works well. I have Brazil going into the final.
Well, and last thing I'll say on Brazil and why I'm so high on them, their depth, like you've talked about the depth of France.
Every guy you know.
But Brazil has the depth, if not better than France, at least on par with it or with any other team in this tournament, and they don't have the injury issues that some of these teams have. So for me, you get deep in a tournament, you're in the 85th minute, and you need a goal or you need to kill off a game. Your depth and your legs and your ability to bring guys in who can kind of stay fresh and in the group stage, you can kind of get up early and maybe have some decent sub patterns that allow guys to stay fresher. That's where that pays off in these big quarterfinal matchups and semifinal matchups. That's why I feel great about Brazil. Their depth in this tournament is going to be, again, assuming they don't get hurt during it, they are going to be one of the best teams, at least going into it, as far as health and depth. So I'm taking Brazil as well.
All right, with that being said, Brazil will crash out in the round of 16. it's a given fact now.
Yeah, now that we both agree on that. All right, so on the other side, let's go with your matchup first.
I think France, I did my matchup. Uruguay.
What a matchup.
Yep.
That would be fun.
I don't know why, and I know that you're not high on this team, but I think coming off the last World Cup run, remember, I mean, yes, they're without their two guys in the midfield. Yes, they could be without some defenders. Yes, it is a new roster. This is a team that won the World Cup 4 years ago without Karim Benzema. He had his entire situation going on.
Yeah, we haven't even talked much about that. But
so, like, he wasn't there, and now he is there, and now he is the best player on the planet. He just came off the Ballon d'Or. It seemed when you needed a winner in Champions League when they were down against City and they were down against PSG, and all of a sudden, like, oh, we need somebody to score a goal. Boom, Karim Benzema there. Like, it's just whatever France are doing, and I give them a lot of credit. They are so deep. They're so talented. This is a fantastic generation that they have worked their way through. They're too good. Uruguay, team of the tournament for me, they fall one step short of getting to a final, which then sets up a Brazil-France final for me.
Yeah, I just feel like in that matchup, it would be the experience and the, like you said, the talent and depth of France versus what would at that point show you that that Uruguay foundation has worked, right? With that mix of old and young players like we just talked about when they played Belgium in this hypothetical matchup. I feel like that would bode well for Uruguay. Like that they could come in and kind of go run at this team and be a little fresher with the younger legs. The depth of France would prove big, though. That would be, that's a tough call. I feel like that one would go to penalties, and I would then probably take France in penalties.
I just, you don't know what's going to happen.
I know. But yeah, I know. Now, the matchup I had in that semifinal is England versus Spain. This is the weird Spain team that could do anything. They would have gotten to this point. I would feel like, though, England would be once again looking at, we're going, it's coming home. They've gotten this close. I feel like it would be England in the final.
You're going to do it.
I'm going to take England to get all the way to the final.
Oh, boy.
And that sets up England-Brazil in the final is what I would have in this hypothetical world. You would have...
Brazil and France. Mm.
Is there a chance we're both picking the same champion?
Yeah, probably.
We're picking Brazil?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it...
Because I'm not picking England to win at all, by the way. I'm picking them to get all the way
there. They had the Euros there last summer.
I'm picking them to get all the way there, and then the pressure. They can't get past the pressure. These are two nations full of pressure, England and Brazil. Everyone calls them the home of soccer, but only Brazil would be able to withstand. England craps themselves in this game. Brazil wins 3-0.
Yeah, it's
not
did,
even close.
It's like they did last summer in the Euros. Like, they're there. You're against Italy. You have this, and you crumbled. You cracked. It was on home soil. I can't see England. God bless them if they do. Their fans will be in for a wild ride, I'm sure. I feel like I need to take a shower after picking a Brazil France final. Like, I think that's pretty scummy and pretty dirty. If we're being 100%
honest,
feel
dirty about that.
I feel scummy, man.
Because you didn't have like a super sexy pick. You picked like the team that won it last time versus the team that's always called the best team in soccer.
Yes, that's exactly why. Yeah. I feel scummy. I feel dirty.
But at the end of the day, like, if you pick Germany to be there, it's like, that's also one of the teams that's always picked to be one of the better. If you picked Argentina to be there, it's like, well, they're always called one of the best teams, right?
Yeah.
If you'd gone with England or Spain, like, I think it would be crazy. If you had picked, like, Mexico to get there and...
The USA.
USA, right. We have a Dos Acero type of game matchup. Oh, my gosh. Bring it on if that were a World Cup final, but it's not going to happen. I mean, my God.
So we both have Brazil winning the World Cup.
Yeah.
All right.
Brazil, and then, it doesn't matter.
Which definitely means it's not going to happen.
Definitely means it's done.
By the way, if you're interested
in
who else fan staffers are picking.
Yeah.
I have asked some people around the radio station. A lot of them don't know who is playing in the World Cup.
That's good. That's good.
But they all came out with different answers. So Chops, who is Mark Finch, who produces 9 to Noon for us.
One of the co-hosts of Bishop and Friends.
That's right. He picked Colombia first, and I said, Colombia's not in
this
tournament.
In the tournament.
He then went with France, and I said, all right, good pivot.
There you go.
Pivot for him. Marco, our boss, picked Italy, said Italy not in this tournament.
In this tournament.
He picked Spain, so another good pivot.
España, there we go.
Another good pivot out of him. Carp.
Bobby Carpenter, your co-host on Morning Juice.
Picked Portugal. That's a good pick, Bob.
Right. There you go.
Matt Andrews, who does Buckeye Women's Hoops. He does Ohio State football sideline for us. He picked England. And I said, that's a good pick, Matt.
That's a good pick.
Skip Mossick, who has been at this radio station since its existence back in 1922.
Mossick. Tell me Skip picked Italy, and then we had to tell him no.
Skip knows that Italy.
Oh, he knows.
He knows. I'm not watching. Italy's not in the World Cup. I'm going with Argentina. Skip Mossick picked Argentina.
Okay.
And then Mark Howell, who is my producer on my morning show, picked Uruguay. I'm like, they're all great picks.
Mark the Shark, by the way, for the Mark Howell.
Nobody knows him as Mark Howell.
No, they should know Mark the Shark. Come on. He's a legend. He's a GD legend. All right, so there you go. Those are the picks. I didn't ask Common Man or Panama Ted. I will do that at some point, and we'll do our picks on our show. I will. I'm sad I didn't think to ask these questions earlier, but I should have. But all right, there you go. Thank you for listening to our World Cup 2022 preview, where we picked Brazil, which means we killed Brazil, and Brazil's going to lose in stunning fashion. Mm-hmm. If you'd like more, we also have the U.S. Men's National Team preview that is out now. We have all of our group stage previews. You can check those all out before the action gets underway on Sunday the 20th, which is this Sunday, and I can't believe we're here. Thanks for listening to Bone and Beam United.